way of a scripture reading this evening, please join me in the 1 Corinthian Epistle, chapter 1. Corinthians chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 18 and a few verses into chapter 2. And here the Apostle Paul speaking says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And may the Lord bless to us and grant us an understanding of Holy Scripture. Amen. The text from which I would like to preach to you this evening is perhaps an unusual one, where Peter, in his second epistle, making reference to an Old Testament event, describes Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Now, this remarkable statement contained in Peter's second epistle is, of course, a reference to an historical event described in the book of Numbers, chapter 22, which we shall not read in full tonight, but you might like to have it ready to make reference to. For in Numbers 22, we read about an episode in the history of the Hebrew people toward the end of their wilderness wanderings, when God had directed that they should approach the eastern banks of the River Jordan through the various territories that lay in an easterly direction from Jordan. And as they came through that region, they were opposed by some of the peoples who they encountered there, over whom the Lord gave them great victories. And thus Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and the nations over which they presided were overcome by the Hebrews as they marched on by the power of God. Now those events troubled the king of the next nation through which they were like to pass, the king of Moab, who decided that some other means must be devised to oppose the approaching Hebrew people. And he resorted, as he imagined, to black magic, to wizardry. And he decided he would appoint some sort of quack or sorcerer or soothsayer, as he is somewhere described in Scripture, who could pronounce a curse upon the Hebrew people and see if that would do any good. Now, the man for whom he sent was an individual called Balaam, who seems to have been a curious mixture, having some knowledge of the Lord God and of the religion of the Hebrew people and some respect to it, but also being mixed up with all kinds of falsehoods and fake religious practices and witchcraft and this kind of thing. And the servants of Balak come to Balaam to summon him to come to the aid of Moab and to pronounce a curse on the Hebrews. And Balaam, by what means we are not told, was forbidden by God to go. But Balaam did not like that word which came and resolved that he would go regardless, because Balak was offering vast amounts of money and financial wealth, and in Balaam's mind this meant far more than any revelation from God that he should not go. And so Balaam persisted in his sin, and we observe that God permitted him to go headlong in this course which had been forbidden. Balaam, we are told, loved the wages of unrighteousness. He was greedy of filthy lucre, and such was his desire for wealth that it mattered not how God had revealed to him that he should not go. He would persist and go anyway. We take up the narrative in verse 22 of Numbers 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. The angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Such is the detail of the episode which Peter succinctly summarizes for us in our text. Balaam was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with the voice of a man forbade the madness of the prophet. There is nothing included in Scripture without purpose or value. There are those who would write off such an episode as this as being fantastical in the extreme, as being mythological, as being little more than a fable and not to be taken in any way seriously. But we believe this to be part of the inspired Word of God. And we know that all the Word of God is given us for our profit and for our learning. And we might ask, what is possibly to be learned from the story of a donkey speaking with the voice of a man and rebuking or reproving its rider for the course in which he was going? There is something miraculous about this episode. It is contrary to expectation and nature that a dumb animal, a beast of burden, as the original Hebrew has it, should speak with the voice of a man and deliver the word of God. And we might almost say, what was the purpose of using this animal to speak when God could communicate directly with Balaam anyway, or could use this angel to speak unto Balaam? Well, my friends, I believe there is an interesting parallel to be made between this beast speaking with a man's voice and the subject of the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the word of God. Now, it might almost seem that to draw such a parallel is to denigrate the office of the ministry. And some might say, well, why would a preacher or a pastor make such a connection as this? Well, let me seek to bring out to you some of the spiritual parallels, I hope, for our learning. And I do not hesitate to say that much of this teaching, it is necessary for me to apply to my own self. But I hope that it is of benefit and profit to us all. Because you see, there is something miraculous about the very fact that God should use mere men to preach his word. God does not need to do such a thing. God could communicate his truth directly. He has on many occasions in the past. God could easily communicate his truth by the voice of an angel, should he so desire. And yet God has been pleased not to do those things. God has appointed at this present time that mere men should communicate the truth to their fellow man. Or speaking more generally than simply the work of the ministry, God has ordained that truth should be communicated by us to one another, that we should bear witness and testimony to our fellow men and women. And when you think about it, it is a marvel that God should entrust a work so important and significant and a word so precious and valuable to such poor instruments and to such weak vessels that we should have treasure in earthen vessels, to use Paul's description of the ministry in another place. Cracked pots packed with gold. You think, why would you put gold in such a paltry vessel as that, in such a damaged container as that? And yet this is what God is pleased to do. And yes, we read this episode in the case of Balaam, and we think, well, of all the animals that God might have used to communicate a word to Balaam, of all things, a donkey. It's not even a horse. It's not a noble animal. It's not a bird of the air that comes with this word. It's not a lion. It's nothing significant or special. It is, as it is literally translated, a beast of burden that is caused to speak the word to Balaam. And my friends, this perhaps reminds us that it has pleased God to communicate his truth by humble means for a purpose in these days in which we live. And Corinthians, those words which we read, express it so well. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By sinful, fallible, mortal men speaking his truth to other men, by using the witness and testimony of such earthen vessels as you and I, fellow believer, to communicate his truth to other men. And even Paul, whom perhaps with rose-tinted spectacles we might look upon and think as being some great exalted individual, and perhaps imagine him with the sort of romanticism of Victorian artists and so on. Paul himself was not like that. He reminds us in chapter 2, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. By his own admission, there was nothing special about Paul's appearance. There was nothing to compare with the great oratory of his age in his style and manner of delivery. But that was the means God used to such wondrous effect in the Mediterranean world. And so there is, I believe, a valid parallel to draw between this episode with Balaam and the matter of the preaching of truth by mere men. And having made that connection, let us see one or two other seemingly incidental details about this episode, which may then have something to teach us. Not least this remarkable defense of itself which the donkey gives in the words of verse 30. And the ass said unto Balaam, Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, Nay. You see, having rebuked Balaam in a very practical way, having turned aside out of the path in which he wanted to go, having caused his foot to be crushed against a wall at one point, and then having finally ceased to carry him any further and obstructed and prevented his further progress, and having received such maltreatment at Balaam's hands, the donkey says, If you were to pause and consider, Balaam, and to reflect, have I ever behaved in such a way as this before? And Balaam had to confess that, of course, this beast had not. And this should have prompted a thought in his mind that, given his past experience of this beast and its behavior towards him, he should have considered the significance of its actions in impeding his progress and in the way in which it had recently behaved. because its previous manner of life and conduct toward him had always been consistent and had been favorable. Now, it is true also that the consistent manner of life and the conduct of a minister of the gospel, or indeed of ourselves more generally in relation to our witness and testimony, needs to be consistent. And that perhaps if on occasions it is necessary for us to speak a word of rebuke or of reproof or correction, or a word which in the ears of the hearer might appear like a criticism, it is important that our manner of life and conduct should not ordinarily have given them cause for offence. Let me go further to say that if a would-be minister of the gospel is a naturally very argumentative person, or an acerbic person, or an individual who is always engaging in verbal conflict, or insulting other individuals, or quick to anger, then he is unlikely to do any service to the Word of God. Quite the contrary, in fact. Men and women are almost immediately going to be disinclined to listen to what he has to say. And if the Word of God, when preached, confronts them or rebukes or reproves them, they will pay it perhaps little or at least less heed, because they will think, well, here is a man who is always finding fault, who is always argumentative, even in daily life, even in normal conversation. So why should we listen to him now? But you see, a consistent and godly manner of life will do nothing but aid and assist and emphasize the truth when we are required to speak it, or when we preach it, or when we testify to it. And that very simple lesson is taught us here at the mouth of this animal. The Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee? Am I not thine ass, which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" The Word of God has an important truth to teach in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And as you know, Timothy was used of God to preach the truth in various places, and the Apostle Paul, speaking by inspiration, counseled him much on the way in which this should be done. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24, he says this, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. These are not words, perhaps, which we hear quoted very often or give consideration unto. What does it mean? Does it suggest that the man of God must not be persistent, that preachers must not be dedicated, that they must not forcibly apply the word? No, it does not mean that. It means they should not always be in a state of strife and conflict with their fellow humans. The preceding verse reminds Timothy, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes, unnecessary arguments and conflicts between people." And this, says verse 24, the servant of the Lord must not engage in, must not get drawn into unnecessary and futile arguments and foolish questions because it will only mar his ministry afterward or drag it down to the level of an argument in the street. The man of God must not be susceptible or responsible for strifes of this nature. Notice with me something else about this episode in Numbers 22. And again, it is a highly instructive one, because we are told this in the 23rd verse of Numbers 22. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way. The angel of the Lord was present in this situation, a spiritual agent of God, and one who was appointed for Balaam's destruction, it would seem, at this point, by the angel's own admission later on, "Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee," verse 33. But Balaam was entirely oblivious of this situation. He was blind to it. It was concealed from his sight. And here he was, thinking only of a filthy lucre, thinking only of the wages of unrighteousness, and how quickly he could get to Moab and to Balak and receive his wages, and was thinking nothing of the peril in which he stood. We read also how two servants were with him, and clearly they were oblivious to the situation as well. And the only we cannot say person, but the only being present there who was conscious of the reality of what was about to happen was this donkey that Balaam rode upon. And that beast of burden perceived the true spiritual situation and acted upon it and then spoke about it. And here we learn one of the important duties and functions of a minister of the Word of God, of a preacher or speaker of truth, and that is that it is our responsibility to perceive the true spiritual situation which is unfolding before us. And this we may do, my friends, not by any extraordinary or miraculous ability, but because here in the Word of God we have it described. And here in the pages of Holy Scripture we are told about the road upon which man at large is driving or riding, and the route in which he is going. We are told of the broad road upon which the multitudes of humanity are to be found, and we are told of the end of that road, that it is a broad road which leadeth to destruction. And whilst the world at large may be oblivious to it and may have their eyes closed to that reality, it is the responsibility of the preacher or speaker of truth to observe it. Now, that, of course, is one fundamental example, but let me go further to suggest that it is also important in perhaps more practical or individual matters for a servant of God to have spiritual perception. And perhaps in the case of members of the church or individual believers, to identify from the scriptures the peril in which they might be heading themselves, the potential consequences of actions which they are taking, or decisions that they might be making. And alas, it is possible even for Christians to be sadly deceived or sadly blind to the potential errors of their ways or to mistakes which they are at risk of making. And under those circumstances, the Lord's servants, the Lord's ministers and preachers need a spiritual discernment, need to see what lies before them in the way, and need to be ready to take action accordingly. Now this, the donkey upon which Balaam rode, began to do. But will you also notice the way in which this beast behaved? Because it did not at once throw Balaam off onto the ground and bolt in the opposite direction. This, we might say, would have been a legitimate course of action. Seeing an angel of the Lord standing in the path with a drawn sword, it would have solved the problem immediately. Balaam would have been prevented from going forward, and the object would have been achieved. But this is not what happened. We read how, in the first instance, this beast of burden simply went out of the path in which the angel of the Lord stood and went in a different direction into the field. And then, when Balaam by force turned it again to the path, took a different course of action. And here attempted to avoid the angel of the Lord by squeezing to the one side, which, of course, inevitably resulted in the crushing of Balaam's foot. And only on the third occasion, when still this failed to prevent the man in his flight and in his purpose, did the beast stop altogether, that he should not go any further. There was a working by degrees. And there is much truth here for those who preach God's truth and who would seek to be an influence for others and a help to them in spiritual things, that sometimes it cannot be done all at once. Perhaps others in the congregation, seeing the potential errors or faults of others, might be thinking to themselves, why doesn't the preacher just go up and confront them straight away and have it out with them and tell it like it is? Spare them nothing. Give it to them straight between the eyes, so to speak. Why does he pull his punches, as it were? My friend, sometimes it is necessary to act by degrees such as this. Sometimes it is necessary first by gentler means, perhaps by persuasion, perhaps by counsel, to seek to bring an individual to take a different course from that which they were originally planning, to take them out of that harmful and hurtful path and into another path. And then, alas, if that proves unavailing, maybe sharper means are necessary, conscious perhaps that it might cause them some personal pain or that it might smart in their conscience to hear it, yet nevertheless, further action is taken. Perhaps now, metaphorically speaking, their foot is crushed against the wall somewhat. And then, if still they will not hearken, they will not hear, then comes the time to oppose directly, to seek means of prevention, that they should continue not in their headlong and destructive course. This remarkable behavior we observe illustrated in this humble beast in Numbers 22. Perhaps an illustration, albeit faintly, of that same truth which we heard Paul give to Timothy, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. We observe that this donkey of Balaam's was not thanked for the action which it took. Three times it was beaten. And remarkably, by Balaam's own admission, on the third occasion, he says that his intentions were quite murderous And had he had a sword ready to hand rather than simply a staff, he would have slain the donkey there and then. What a thing. What a return for the efforts which that beast was making for Balaam's own deliverance. And perhaps there is a lesson in this too, that when, in speaking the truth, when in bringing counsel, we need to cross another individual's wishes, we need to reprove or rebuke them, let us not expect thanks. Let us not imagine that it will be taken well. Let us not think that they will be grateful to us for it. Let us rather be ready, perhaps, for this same response that Balaam meted out upon his donkey. Let us be prepared to endure the slingshots and the staves of the world raised against us. Let us not fear the persecution and the criticism which may come in consequence of speaking the truth of God. This, we observe, this animal did with remarkable patience. And surely our patience as cognizant human beings, aware that we are engaged upon the Lord's work, must be proportionally greater. Such, we observe, was the behaviour then of this beast of burden in the episode in Numbers 22. And yet, by the conclusion of this episode, we find that Balaam continued in his original course, that God, whose revealed will had told Balaam not to go, permitted him to continue in his error and in his folly. And we might say, well then, were all the donkey's best efforts a failure? And did this animal, for all its endeavours and the fact that it spoke with the voice of a man, fail to achieve anything on the part of Balaam? And some might say the same about preachers of the gospel. Perhaps they have sought to counter the errors of the day. Perhaps they have spoken the truth to those in error and reproved them and rebuked them. Perhaps they have had to manage difficult and painful disciplinary situations within the church. But the consequence has been that the offenders have continued in their offence, and that they have continued in their headlong course, and they have not taken counsel, and they have not taken advice, and they have gone on in the same way. And we might say, well then, was it all a failure? Was it all for nothing? No, it is not. No, it is not. The end result of the matter is ever in the Lord's hands. But will you notice with me before we leave Numbers 22 the remarkable things which this dumb animal did or achieved in this episode before it? Because following this unprecedented and miraculous conversation that Balaam had with his own donkey, we read verse 31. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. The donkey was the herald of an unexpected manifestation, and was, if not the direct means, then certainly a preparatory means to Balaam having his eyes opened and seeing this brief glimpse of God. We are not told how long it lasted. We are not told how long it was before the angel vanished from Balaam's view and everything went back as it had been before, and he began perhaps to discount it and increased in resolution to continue to Moab. But for a moment, he saw the Lord. And in some small way, this animal had been the means of bringing him to that position. And my friends, if in our declaration of truth, if in our witness and testimony to others, if in our preaching of the word, we just for a moment give them a glimpse of the situation as it really is, if we are the means, just on one occasion perhaps, of granting them a glimpse of how things really stand with their soul and the matter which really lies before them. And if they just have a passing sight of the potential consequences of their actions or the spiritual peril in which they stand, then a great thing has been achieved indeed. In fact, the significance of this little episode upon Balaam is not to be minimized. Because in verse 34, he makes a most remarkable confession. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. I have sinned. This man Balaam goes down in Bible history as the epitome of sin and sins of a most grievous kind. He is referenced time and again in the pages of Holy Writ. Here in Numbers, again, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Nehemiah, 2 Peter, Jude, Revelation. He gets mentioned again and again as almost the embodiment of all that is evil and of carnal desires prevailing over conscience and of harm done to the people of God, which he afterward went on to do. And here, just for a moment, and for the only occasion, we see this wicked man Balaam in a state of conviction. It does not seem to have lasted long. Almost in the very next sentence, he is trying to make allowance for himself and to justify his intentions to continue in sin. But here, just for a moment, there is an instant of conviction. And a sense of sinnership, and a sense that he is without excuse. And my friends, if the effect of us bringing the word of God, preaching the truth, reproving or rebuking sin, just gives the hearer a moment's pause for thought, and an instant of regret at their actions, and just a small iota of conviction and a sense of sin, then something has indeed been achieved, and something has been wrought, and God's cause and the cause of truth has been served. Peter, in his commentary, in his second epistle, tells us that Balaam was rebuked for his iniquity. However much he brazened it off and carried on in his own appointed way anyway, for a moment he was rebuked for his iniquity, and he felt the reproof of it and the smart of it for an instant. And we are told that dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. And we are told that the literal meaning of the words in the Greek are that he impeded or he hindered the prophet's headlong course. That donkey was the means of bringing a deferment or a delay. And the exact nature of that delay is described by the angel in verse 33. The ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee. I had slain thee. It is, of course, a purely hypothetical question as to what might have happened otherwise. But here this angel of the Lord says that had not that beast intervened, Balaam would have been slain there and then. But the donkey's actions forbade or hindered or impeded the course of the prophet, and we might say spared him to live another day, delivered him from the potential consequences of his actions at this moment, gave him a further window for repentance, a few more days to change his mind, to go back again, to mend his ways. Now, my friends, we cannot know what the secret purposes of God in providence might be for the people to whom we speak. They might perhaps brush off our words with some mocking or derisive comment. They might rail against us for what we have said, but perhaps it delays them a day. Perhaps it defers them in their course. Perhaps it reduces the intensity or the magnitude or the folly of what they had been going to do or might otherwise have done. And perhaps in the purposes of God, it saves them to live another day, to think another day, to repent another day. And if our testimony or if our preaching has achieved that, then it has achieved something great. And here is another remarkable thought about the words of this beast and the actions of it. Namely, that they echoed the word of God. That they reiterated the word of God. The revealed will of God, we might call it, as it had been manifested in the earlier verses of Numbers 22. And there we read this, verse 12, "And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." Balaam had originally resolved along those lines, "And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you." And the actions which that beast of burden took in the word of reproof that it issued unto Balaam, a donkey, echoed the words and the will of God. And that is a remarkable thing for us to think of, whether we are preachers in a pulpit or whether we are testifying to the truth in our daily lives. We, though mere mortal men, we, though the least and the lowest and the base things of this world, are echoing the voice of God, are reiterating his truth and his word. And who knows if we may not be the last voice of warning, or the last word of reason, or the last truthful counsel that person or individual hears. Because we might say that this point on the road in Balaam's life was the last opportunity which he had to turn back. In but a few moments, the angel of the Lord would permit him to go further. It was not license. It would be to his own destruction. He went ahead. He did as he had planned to do for Balak, although his words were changed upon his very lips. And shortly after, in Numbers 31, we read how Balaam was destroyed and killed in the overthrow of Moab. This point upon the road was the last opportunity he had to turn back, to heed the revealed will of God as it had first been expressed, and to take a better course. And this animal was one of the last to speak a voice of warning to him. And that in itself is of great significance. If perhaps, when given an opportunity to witness, we bite our tongues, if when we hear of the foolish behavior of another and we fail to say something, perhaps we were to be their last chance to hear the truth, their last opportunity to amend their ways. How important then that we should take it. There is a remarkable promise spoken to this animal in verse 33, where the angel tells Balaam what might otherwise have happened to him then and there. And the ass saw me, says the angel, and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. What a remarkable thing for the animal to hear, if we can call it that, or for the angel to say. Balaam was on the route to destruction, and the beast upon which he rode was the only thing that delivered him. And the angel said, had you carried on, Balaam, you would have been destroyed, but the donkey would have been safe. That animal would have been preserved. You know, a few minutes previously, it looked all the other way, didn't it? Balaam was beating the donkey for all he was worth and said that if he had had a sword in his hand, he would have killed it dead and found other means of transport. It seemed all Balaam's way. The spiritual reality was very different. It was Balaam who was in peril. The beast would have been saved alive. And my friends, very often for the people of God, for the servants of the Lord, it appears that everything is against them, and they are the ones most threatened and most imperiled. The world hates them and hates their message. Unbelievers and those whose sins we seek to reprove despise us for it. They would like us to suffer for our opinions. They would like to silence us. And sometimes this has almost literally happened. People of God have been persecuted, perhaps imprisoned, silenced forcibly. But you know, the spiritual reality is very different. It is not the Lord's servants who are imperiled. It is not they whose lives are jeopardized. Rather, the other way around. It is the unbeliever who is in peril. The servant of God is safe. The servant of God is preserved by a divine fiat, by the promise of God. They are saved alive. It is remarkable to think, is it not, that of all the thousands of millions, the billions of animals that there have been in creation, there are only a very few examples who have received a special mention in the Word of God and who have been immortalized, I use the word advisedly, in the Scriptures. Well, the same can be said of this beast upon which Balaam rode. We are not told anything of its after history, the most significant part of its entire existence. Was this occasion when, under the hand of God, it miraculously spoke a timely word of truth and reproof to Balaam. But hundreds and hundreds of years later, that same animal is mentioned there in Peter's epistle and in that text that we began with tonight. Balaam of all people, Balaam the son of Bosor, that embodiment and epitome of wickedness, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. We don't know what people we will come up against in the course of our lives, what word of witness or testimony we might be caused to give to them. But this we do know, that whatever they go on to do, whatever wickedness or sin they go on to commit, God will have it on record that their madness was forbidden, that their iniquity was reproved by this or that child of God, by this or that sermon, by this or that preaching which they came under the sound of. And thus God was vindicated and opportunity was given and the truth was brought to bear. And the people of God, to a much greater and higher and nobler degree, will be recognized for that and will be remembered for that, and their service will be had in everlasting remembrance. Let me close with the wonderful promise of Daniel chapter 12, which says this, which should be an inspiration for us all, whatever our opportunity to speak or whatever occasion we might have to declare God's truth. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. Here is a promise indeed to those who seek to turn others unto righteousness, to speak a word in season, to utter wisdom in the face of folly, that they should shine as the brightness of the firmament, that they should be as stars forever and ever, that they should awake, as the preceding verse says, to everlasting life. May God thus inspire us in his service and fulfill that promise to us as we seek it for his name's sake. Amen. The closing hymn is 437. 437, which we can sing as way of testimony. I cannot speak a proper word, nor think aright, but from the Lord preparing heart and tongue. In nature I can see no good, but all my good proceeds from God and does to grace belong. 437. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen. Amen.